Man, you got your Bibles? We're going to be in Acts chapter 13 this morning, and I know all y'all know that because if you're visiting with us this morning, what we do is we go through books of the Bible. Right now we're in the book of Acts. We've been in the book of Acts for 20 weeks. We will be in chapter 13 today, and we're going to be in chapter 13, verses 13 through 52. You say, dang, Pastor, that's a lot of verses. That means you're going to keep me here late, right? And I said, no, I ain't going to keep you here late. Amen. In fact, you can get up and leave anytime you want. Right? But I will point you out. Huh? Come on. Hey, where are you going? God ain't done with you yet. Of course, I wouldn't point you out, man. You might be going to the bathroom or something. Right? So, I want to welcome everybody here this morning. What we've been doing, we seen last week, we started Paul and Barnabas' first missionary journey, all right? And this is so important, such a moment in time for Christianity, because from this point on, it would only take about 2.5 centuries for Christianity to become the dominant religion in the entire Roman Empire. And how did it start? We seen it last week with a group of 5 men called by God, seeking God, right? And by the way, this was a culturally diverse group of men. Make no mistake about it, right? And they're full of the Holy Spirit. They're seeking God, and God says, set apart for me, Paul and Barnabas, right? And they laid hands on them and sent them off. And last week, I'll show you a map. Last week, we read where they left Antioch, where they laid hands on them and sent them out. They went to the port city of Seleucia, and then they got in a boat, right? I'm sure they didn't swim that far. Went to Salamis. Now, the Bible didn't tell us a lot of things that happened in Salamis, right? But it says there they took about a 90-mile trip to Paphos, and that was where Sergio Paulus, which is a Roman counselor, a Roman governor, believed. In other words, Paul spoke to him the gospel, and if you guys didn't notice, it didn't give us the words that Paul spoke, right? But Paul spoke to him. We know what Paul spoke about. He spoke about Jesus, right? And if you remember Elymas, the sorcerer, he was trying to get in between what Paul was called there to do and this man who wanted to hear about the Word of God. You remember what Paul did? He looked him in the eye, said, you child of God, you're full of weak, a child of the devil. Yeah. Thank you, Pat. Well, that took all the drama out of that, didn't it? Get up, baby. You child of the devil, you're full of wickedness and trickery, and you're against everything that is right, right? Man, looked him right in the eye and called him out. And then what did he do? Blinded him. Blinded him. Praise God. Amen. God's will be done. But it's kind of odd, as we talked about last week, that Paul was blinded, and then through his darkness, he seen the light. So my hope is that through Elymas, you know, his blindness, maybe he also seen the light. Because we know the Bible said he was only blind for a time. Right? So we're going to pick up after they're done in Patmos, and we're going to pick up. They're going to go to Perga, and then they're going to go to Antioch, Pisidia, and then actually they're going to end up in Iconium, but it just says they left there for Iconium at the end of this chapter. But I want to show you some of the things that are happening there, and we're going to break down. What's going on here? This is Paul's first sermon that is recorded. All right? And it is good. It is good. And listen, if you go back and read Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2, or if you go read Stephen's sermon in Acts chapter 7, which got him stoned to death, come on, then you'll see that there are similarities. And there should be similarities because the subject of all three sermons is the same individual, right? And who is that? Jesus. Yes. All right. So if you got your Bibles, Man, let's pick it up in chapter 13, verse 13. We'll read a couple of verses here. And what I want to do, if you're visiting with us this morning, we just read, and then we look at it and break it down, and then we move on to some more verses, all right? But we do read every verse. This is going to be a verse-by-verse thing, and then we'll look at what God is trying to tell us. Because remember, Acts covers a 30-year period. There's only 28 chapters. So listen, there's an emphasis on every single word that is in this book. All right, now here's the deal. Whether you're 100 years old or if you're in here and you're 10 years old, the message that Paul is going to preach today applies to you. So I don't care how young you are. Listen. Listen, all right? Listen to what God has for you. And I love to see young people in here because there's I try to present it in such a way, right? Because there's some old people in here that just need it presented in such a way where it's really easy, right? But really, God's Word is easy, isn't it? I mean, it is. If you can stop and look at it and see it for what it is, it can be broke down into very, very simple terms, can it not? And you know what? I'm one of them guys. Break it down for me. Break it down. Break it down. Not break dance, Ernie. That's a private joke, but evidently she knows that Ernie's a break dancer, right? I just learned that this morning. You got to be careful what you tell the pastor, man. You got to be more careful, right? No, I'm just kidding. Not really. All right, you ready? Verse 13. From where? Paphos. We just talked about that. Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them and returned to Jerusalem. From Perga, they went on to Pisidia, Antioch. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the leaders of the synagogue sent word to them, to who? Paul and Barnabas, saying, "Brothers, if you have a word of exhortation for the people, please speak." All right, so I want you guys to understand something. When the men were sent forth, right, from Antioch, John Mark was not the one they laid hands on. Clearly, he gets to Patmos and he sails with them to Perga and he leaves Paul and Barnabas in Perga. Now, here's the deal. The Bible does not tell us why he left. All right? There's all kinds of speculation. Maybe he's seen how Paul talked to that dude last week and decided, "Hey, that's kind of hard for me, man." Maybe it's because of this. Up until this point, it was Barnabas and Paul. But here, it is no longer Barnabas' group. I want you to know that. Because you will see from this point on, not only is he called Paul from this point on, but you'll see his preeminence, you'll see his leadership. All right? You will absolutely see Paul now taking hold and answering the call. Remember what Ananias told him? God told Ananias, "You go to Paul because I must show him all the things he must suffer. I am going to send him where? To the Gentiles." Right? To the Gentiles. So we don't know why Mark left, but listen, it will cause a problem because at the end of chapter 15, Barnabas and Paul want to go back and revisit churches, right? But Paul says, "I ain't taking that guy with me. He deserted me halfway through. I ain't taking him." And Barnabas, because it's Barnabas' cousin, right? He says, "Man, give him a chance," right? And the Bible says it was a pretty hard argument. And it ends up, they split up. And they do not go together. All right, Barnabas and Mark go, and then Paul takes Silas. All right, we'll look at that when we get there. But I'll just give you a little bit of heads up on that. All right, so let's read verses 16 through 23. All right, now pay attention here because this is very important. And you're going to wonder, why is he talking about Egypt? Why is he talking about the judges? Why is he... Follow me here because it's important to understand. Listen to me here. Today, this is what starts right here in these verses. If you do not know Jesus Christ, listen to this sermon that Paul is speaking. You say, "Oh, Pastor, you don't know me. I'm wicked. I'm evil. I'm no good." Listen to me, man. Listen to me. Jesus hung out with tax collectors, Come on, Jesus hung out with people who denied even knowing him 3 times. Jesus hung out with a lady named Mary. She had her own demon. Matter of fact, she had 7 that had been cast out of her. So listen to me, you ain't too bad. You can never be too bad. Amen? Because if that's the case, I'm not going to make it. And I see a lot of you agreeing with me, man. If that's the case, none of us are going to make it. All right, so just listen to these words. Standing up. Oh, yeah, take a stand, Paul. Motioned with his hand and said, fellow Israelites and you Gentiles, come on, who worship God, listen to me. All right, that's what I'm telling you today. Listen to me. Listen to God as he speaks these words through me. The God of the people of Israel chose our ancestors. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, he led them out of that country. For about 40 years, he endured their conduct. Right? Come on, we know how that was. That wilderness group, man, losers. I'm just telling you, they were losers. As a matter of fact, you tell me how many made it out of the wilderness? 2. Right? That's right, man. 2 out of 1 million or whatever. You know what I mean? Come on. All right. He endured their conduct in the wilderness, and he overthrew 7 nations in Canaan. In other words, you remember, right? He walked in. God went before him. They had a couple hiccups. Giving their land to his people as their inheritance. That was a promise he made to Abraham way, way back. All this took about 450 years. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet. Then the people asked for a king, and they gave him Saul, son of Kish. God didn't really want Saul to be king, but that's what the people wanted. So God gave them King Saul, right? He was from the tribe of Benjamin, and he ruled for 40 years. You guys remember, we went through the book of Samuel. Does anybody remember what Saul was doing when God called him and anointed him king? Chasing donkeys, man. That's what he was doing. So listen, you never know when God's going to speak to you. You never know what you'll be doing when God's going to speak to you. After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. That's the kind of guy I want to be. I hope that's the kind of guy, that's the kind of gal you want to be. That you want to be that person who is a person after God's own heart. But listen, in order for you to be that, you have to be willing to do everything that God wants you to do. And listen, that is not easy. That is not easy. All right. From this man's descendants, listen to me, God has brought to Israel the Savior as he promised. All right? So God gives them a quick summary here in these verses, 16 through 23. And he starts with Exodus, right? And then he goes on to Judges, and he also talks about Egypt, and then he talks about the first kings and the second king, Saul and David, right? Why is Paul talking about all this? Why is he going all the way back to Egypt? Because there's something that Paul wants us to see. There's something that God wants us to see here. And what he wants us to see here is that this demonstrates that even though these were Jewish people, right? He's showing us by demonstrating through Israel's history, the Messiah was going to come. Let me start a verse, and it comes from regular John 4:22. Let me start this verse and you finish it. Salvation is of, who said the Jews? Salvation, he's talking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and he says, salvation is of the Jews. In other words, what he was telling her was salvation was going to come through the Jewish people, all right? And that's what Paul is trying to show him here. Salvation is of the Jews, and salvation did come through the Jewish people. So yeah, you may say, You may start in Egypt, but it's going to end in Jesus. You may be in the book of Judges, but it's going to end in Jesus. I don't care where you find yourself in the Old Testament, it's going to end in Jesus. Because God always intended for that path to end at the cross. Amen? Isn't that a beautiful picture of what he's trying to show us here? So Paul goes into the synagogue and he begins to explain how Israel's history led to Jesus. Amen? All right. Let's look at verses 24 through 26. And he's going to mention here John the Baptist. Before the coming of Jesus, John preached repentance. What was John's message? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was John's message, right? And baptism to all the people of Israel. As John was completing his work, he said, "Why do you suppose I am? Who do you suppose I am? I am not the one you're looking for." Come on, that's John saying. "But there is one coming after me whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." Listen to verse 26. "Fellow children of Abraham, and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent." Amen. You know what? You say, how good a dude was John the Baptist? These Jews worshiped John the Baptist. You know what Jesus said about John the Baptist? He said, "Of those born of women, there was none greater than John the Baptist. But even the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Come on, right? There's no one greater than John the Baptist. It didn't say he was the greatest. It just said there was no one greater. You say, how can God say that about him? Man, John, he ate locusts and wild honey. He wore camel hair. There was only one thing in his whole life he was concerned about: what God told him to do. He came, he did what God told him to do, and what happened? God took him home. God took him home. Amen? So what John is saying here is, he's saying, hey, what Paul is saying here is, I want you to remember John, because even John said, hey, I'm not the guy, but there's one coming. There's one coming whose sandals I'm not even worthy to untie. And listen, you remember what John the Baptist said when he seen Jesus? "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Amen? All right. Let's look at verses 27 through 37. You follow me so far? All right. "The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not reckon..." Now, what I'm going to read here is gospel. All right? Most of this you're going to... comes from the Gospels, right? "The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus, yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read on every Sabbath." All right? That's a beautiful picture if you understand what he's saying there. I'll explain it to you. "Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed, hung on a cross." Amen? "When they had carried out all that was written about him..." Did you get that? They didn't carry anything out that God had not already told you and I or them would happen. All right? "Asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb." Whose tomb? Joseph of Arimathea. Who helped Joseph get the body down? Nicodemus. The next two words, say it with me. But God. I love them words, man. Those are some powerful, powerful words, right? We've even seen that in Bible studies. "But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people." Verse 32, because listen to me, this is what I'm telling you. We tell you the good news. I am telling you the good news right now. All right? Listen to this good news. God promised to our ancestor, He has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. As it is written in the second Psalm, You are my son, and today I have become your father. Amen? What a beautiful picture that God is identifying Jesus as His son. God raised Him from the dead so that He will never be subject to decay. As God has said, listen, I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David. So it is also stated here, you will not let your Holy One see decay. Now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. What does fell asleep mean? All right. He was buried with his ancestors and his body decayed. Correct? So who's he talking about? Whose body would not see decay? But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. Amen? In fact, I believe that when Jesus was in that tomb, died and was put in that tomb, during those 3 days, he went and let the captives free. He went and led the captives free. What captives, Pastor? He went and let and emptied Abraham's bosom. Because that's where people went, because you couldn't get back to heaven until your sins were paid for. And Jesus came and He accomplished just that. Amen? Let's break this down a little bit, because here's what I want you to know. He said that when they had done everything to Him that was written about Him, right? How many prophecies are in the Old Testament about Jesus? Over 300, right? Remember, we went through many, many of them. I want you to know something. God is showing us who He is because He has revealed to us so many things that hadn't happened that have now or will happen. Amen? Jesus, 300 prophecies in the Old Testament. Listen, you can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, right? Well, when the Bible says, when God said, I will put enmity between you and your offspring, right? He will crush your heel, but you will bruise his head. Amen? That's talking about the battle of sin between Jesus and the enemy. So Jesus goes all the way back. If you want to even go further back than that to find Jesus, the Bible says, in the beginning, God. That word there, God, is Elohim, meaning three or two or more. Amen? That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen? It just all works. It all fits together as you go through the Word of God. He said, but God, right? Oh, yeah, they didn't recognize Jesus as the Messiah, all right? They didn't recognize Him, so they went to Pilate and they wanted to be killed. They didn't want to lose their power. They didn't want to lose their authority, right? So they had Him killed. They had Him crucified. They put Him in a tomb. But listen to me, but God. God raised Him from the dead. Now, here's what I want you to see. The fact that God raised Him from the dead was proof that His payment for sin was enough. Oh, come on, isn't that a beautiful picture? Yeah, Jesus went to the cross. Yes, He died for sins, your sins. And listen, all power and all authority has been given unto Him. And when He rose from the dead, listen to me, He now has all the keys. All the keys. The keys to sin, the keys to death, the keys to the grave. Amen? He has all those. And you know what? All you got to do is ask Him for them. Amen? And He'll give you those keys. Mm-mm-mm. And don't miss the emphasis here on the events that Paul's talking about. Because he's not talking about something philosophy, right? That's not what he's talking about. He is talking about events that actually happened. All right? Everything that he goes over in this sermon are things that already happened. So when we look at it, here's what we could say. A Christianity is a proclamation of the facts that concern what God has already done. All right? He's already done it. Our salvation has been secured. So, Pastor, if you're sitting here today, you're saying, Pastor, how do I get salvation? It's simple. Listen to me, it's simple. You just ask God for it. You just thank God for it. You just ask, you tell Jesus you're a sinner, right? And you ask God to forgive you of your sins. And you ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior. Amen? And He'll do it. Why? Because all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You confess with your mouth, Romans says, 10:9 says, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, say it with me, you shall be saved. Amen? It's not hard. Because if it was hard or difficult, a lot of us wouldn't be able to do it. But it ain't dependent upon us. Completely, 100%, totally dependent on what God has already done. Yes, already done. All right. Let's go on to the next verses, 38 and 39. You follow me? Say amen.
Amen.
Now listen. Therefore, we know what it's there for. My friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. I just explained that to you, did I not? Through Him, everyone who believes is set free from what?
Every.
Pastor, you mean my sins are forgiven, all of them, even the ones I haven't done yet? That's how powerful the blood of Jesus Christ is. Yes, that's how powerful the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is. So, you know, those people who believe that, you know, if you die and you didn't ask for forgiveness of the sin, that you don't get to heaven, you know what I say to them? Really? Really? You think it's dependent on you? If it was dependent on you, you couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. If it was dependent upon us, none of us would make it. We wouldn't, man. You know it. And I know it. So let's not pretend that it's about us. Because it ain't about us. Amen? All right. Where am I at? Through Him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin. A justification, listen to me, you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. When you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, every single one of your sins is forgiven. Past, present, and future. Because when He went and He died on the cross, He paid the penalty for every sin. You say, well, what about the people who don't put their faith in Him? All you got to do is put your faith in Him. That is where the eraser comes into effect. All right? Permanent eraser comes into effect. But until you do that, listen to me, you have to pay the penalty for your own sins. All right? You have to pay the penalty yourself. And it's not a pretty picture if you have to pay the penalty for yourself. Amen? And I want you to notice something here too, because salvation is only available through Jesus. Remember what He said in John 14:6? If you know it, say it with me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. Right? That's it. You can only get to the Father except through Jesus. And what we just read there is, it's not attainable through the law. It has never been attainable through the law. No man could ever keep the law. The law was there to point us to Jesus Christ. There was one person who kept the law, all right, who was perfect and sinless. And of course, that was Jesus. Amen? I love this sermon that He's preaching. Right? Nice little boat. This would have been something that, like, He would have preached to Sergio Paulus, right, or spoke to him, because it was more a one-on-one deal. So wouldn't you agree it was more of an evangelistic type setting? But this is what He would have told them, right? I don't know if He'd have went all the way back to Egypt and all that, but He would have told them about Jesus Christ. He would have told him, hey, you're a sinner, and you need to have your sins paid for, and I got the path for you. And that path and that person is, of course, Jesus Christ. All right. These next two verses, 40 and 41, these are probably one of the most important two verses in this thing that He is preaching. There's a lot of important ones. I'm just saying these two are probably two very, very, very important verses, all right? Follow me. Take care that what the prophets have said does not happen to you. Well, you say, well, what has the prophet said? Well, let me read it to you. Look, you scoffers, wonder and perish. For I am going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you. Amen? I get that. I have witnessed and evangelized to many people. I have tried to tell them the good news. I have tried to tell them the truth. And I fully, absolutely understand that some of them looked at me like I had two heads and didn't believe a single word I said. But that is not going to stop me, because so many people have received the truth. Amen? And maybe it didn't shine like a light on them right then, but the seed was planted, or the seed you planted was watered. And that is my job, and that is your job as well. Amen? So where does this come from? Where does this, what the prophet said? Man, if you've been going through the book of Isaiah, this is going to ring for you. Because this actually came from the book of Habakkuk, prophet Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 5. Habakkuk is a book where Habakkuk really just has two complaints. He makes his complaint, and then God answers. He makes his next complaint, and then God answers, right? But in the context of what he's talking about here is judgment. All right? So that's what he's talking about. That's the context here. Because I want you to read. Take care that what the prophets have said does not happen to you. Make sure that God's judgment does not fall upon you. Amen? More importantly, it's condemnation. Amen? What does Romans 8:1 say? Anybody know? That's right. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So make sure that this don't happen to you. All right? And what is he talking about there? Make sure you don't reject Jesus. Because without Jesus, you have no future. You have no hope. I'm just telling you the truth here. You do not have any of that without Jesus. Bible was clear right there. What did he say? You will perish. What does that mean? You'll be forever separated from God. What does that mean? You're going to a place called hell. What does that look like? The Bible says it's a place where the fire is not quenched. Come on. Weeping, gnashing of teeth, where the worm dieth not. Amen? But God doesn't send anybody there. God sends nobody there. Because everybody has a chance to hear the good news. And today, that's your chance. Amen? It's your chance if you want to accept it or you want to reject it. But here's what he's saying. Take care that you see that you do not reject the truth about Jesus Christ. Amen? And listen, nothing has changed since Paul preached this sermon. Amen? The world still needs a Savior, and his name is Jesus. All right. Let's pick up verse 42, because this is really the crux of the message. But you can't really go through, you can't get to the end until you went through the beginning and the middle, all right? So let's read the last 11 verses, 42 through 52, and some of you are going to say, wait a minute, that's only 10. No, that's 11. All right? So Paul's preached the message, right? The sermon is over. Listen to what happens. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the Word of God. That's a beautiful picture, people. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. Of course they are. They began to contradict what Paul was saying and heaped abuse on him. Listen to me. If you're going to stand for the truth, you're going to be persecuted. Right? You're going to be. And listen, in Timothy 3:12, it says, Paul was talking to Timothy. He said, hey, if you want to live a godly life, you will be persecuted. Listen to me this morning. If you are not being persecuted, then you are not living a godly life. You are not looking different than the world, and you are not looking like your Lord and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Because when you do, oh my goodness, they're going to heap abuse on you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to try to shut you up and shut you down. Amen? And we're going to see that in the next chapter, man. You know, Paul gets stoned. They thought he was dead. Stoned for speaking the truth. They heaped abuse on him. Listen, then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly. How did he answer them?
Boldly.
This is how you fight, people. You fight with the truth.
Amen.
Because the only thing that's going to reveal a lie is the truth.
Amen.
All right? You don't have to beat people over the head. You don't have to smack them in the face. Let the truth do what the truth does. Do you know why you're saved today? Because the truth. Somebody spoke the truth. Do you know why you're not an angry person anymore? Somebody spoke the truth. Do you know why you ain't full of anxiety and worry and all that stuff? Because somewhere you heard God said, be anxious for nothing, or don't worry about anything.
Amen.
Or about everything. Be joyful.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
It is the truth that makes that lie stand out.
Amen.
That's the problem in the world today. Listen to me. We just let those lies run right by us. We let those lies be spoke within our hearing. Amen? Listen, the only way to beat that lie, the only way to beat that darkness is take the light of the truth, man. And just like Paul did last week, you're a child of the devil. Oh, Pastor. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Huh? God will do his part. But opening the mouth and speaking his word, that's your part. That's your part. That's my part. All right, where did I get lost at? Thank you. Thank you. She always keeps up with me. Then Paul and Barnabas answered him boldly. We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy, come on, of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Listen to me, that was always Paul's calling. Remember, we just talked about it a minute ago. He was going to be the apostle to the Gentiles, right? Hey, if you don't want to hear it, I'll go to the next one.
Yep.
If you're a group of people, a nation, you don't want to hear it, I'll go to the next nation. Amen? When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord. And all who were appointed for eternity, eternal life, believed. Amen? People heard the word. People heard the truth. It shined that light on the lie. Right? And they believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. Why? Because this one guy, sent by God to speak the word of God. And it spread throughout the whole region. But the Jewish leaders incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. Come on. If you want to live a godly life, you will be expelled. You will be abused. You will be asked to leave. Cool. He'd finished his job there, had he not? He done preached a heck of a sermon. The whole region. Word spread throughout the whole region. They shook the dust off their feet. What was that about, man? Hey, that's what God tells you to do. If you preach to somebody, you evangelize somebody, they don't want to hear the truth, shake the dust off your feet and go on to the next person. They shook the dust off of his feet, off their feet as a warning to them, and went to where? Iconium. Now let's look at verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Man, I know that seems like a lot to break down, but it's really not, because here's what we see. Absolutely, we see here the power of God. Even more importantly, the power of the Word. The Word of God. We see people here who are hungry and thirsty for the truth of God, right? So they were moved by what they heard. And they wanted to know more. Oh man, Paul, can you come back? Yeah, I can come back. And listen, when they left, people followed him. Man, they're hungry and they're thirsty for the Word of God. They wanted to know what God's will is for their lives. They wanted to know more about who this Savior Jesus was, right? And what you see here is an absolute hunger. Do you know what it's like to be hungry? I mean hungry for food. Thirsty Come on. Most of us know what it's like to be thirsty. Maybe we sat out at a football game, didn't bring no water. It was 110 degrees. By the time that game's over, man, you were dried up. Right? And that first drink. Are you hungry and thirsty like that for the Word of God? Are you? That's what the world needs. Right? That's what the world needs. But man, these people excite me because they couldn't wait for another week. Come on, man, we can't wait for another. Let's go follow them. Let's go ask them questions. Man. So, Paul and Barnabas return the next week, and the Bible says this, and I quote, almost the whole city showed up. Don't you know what that would do to a preacher's head if he preached a message? And the next Sunday, the whole city showed up. Right? It'd be real easy to stop and to say, hey, man, this is a, look at these people. It's all about me. But I want you to notice something. Paul and Barnabas never once draw attention to themselves. You see that, right? Not once do they draw attention to themselves. It is only the Word of God that stands out here, and it is the Word of God that they came back to hear, nothing else. Amen? Watch this. I want to show you four verses. They're on the board. Verse 44, 46, 48, 49. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered. Why'd they gather? When you come here, come to hear the Word of God. Because we will read the Word of God. And it is the Word of God that will change you. It is. Verse 46. We had to speak the Word of God to you first. Verse 48. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the Word of the Lord, or the Word of God. Look at verse 49. The Word of the Lord spread through the whole region. Make no mistake, what is at center point here? What is in the center of everything that Paul and Barnabas is doing and will do? Because it is the Word of the Lord. It is the Word of God. Listen to me. You know what that tells me? It's not the environment. It's not the preacher. It's not the music. Listen to me. It's the Word of God. And most of you, if you're a member here, that's why you're here. I mean, really, that's why you're here. Because don't think I haven't done a census. Right? I want to know why people are here. And most, 9 out of 10 of you members who have been here, say, because here you can get the Word of God. Because we go through the Word of God. We read it verse by verse, book by book. Amen? Because I understand something. The Word of God must be preeminent. It absolutely must be preeminent. Amen? Woo! All right. So it's the Word of God that moves us, right? It's the Word of God that saves us, convicts us, encourages us. But here's what I want you to see. It is also the Word of God that inspires or builds faith in our lives. Do you get that, right? It is this that inspires our faith, and it is this that builds our faith. I want to read something to you that D.L. Moody said. D.L. Moody, who's heard of D.L. Moody, man? Come on. Most of you are good because he's an evangelist probably from the mid to late 1800s. But man, was he right on point, right? Here's what he said. I prayed for faith and thought that someday it would come down and strike me like lightning. Sometimes people are like that today. I'm going to pray for faith. I'm going to pray for faith. Why don't you read the Bible? And the Bible will tell you how to get faith. Come on. Listen to what he says. But faith didn't seem to come. One day I read in Romans that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Amen.
You take a note, that's in 10:17 of Romans. I had, up to this time, closed my Bible and prayed for faith. Now I opened my Bible and began to study, and my faith has been growing ever since. And then he says this. And have since learned the only way to overcome the great enemy of my soul is the written Word of God. Matthew chapter 4, the enemy comes to Jesus, tempts him. What does Jesus say? He says three words. It is written, it is written, it is written. That's the power of the Word, my friends. You understand? That is the power of the words. I want to read something to you from Amos. And Amos is before Isaiah, okay? A little bit before Isaiah, just for you Isaiah people out there. And it comes from Isaiah chapter 8. I want you to listen to this very closely, verses 11 and 12. Because this is a prophecy, right? The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord. Who's speaking here? All right. When I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Welcome to the famine, people. Look around. I want you to know why we're in this famine right now. Right? Listen to me. Listen to the rest of it. People will stagger from sea to sea, wandering from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. Amen? Listen to me. You may have been that person wandering and staggering north to east and all that, but listen, today you have heard the word of God. Amen? Now listen, you can leave here and you can keep staggering. See ya. Because we have done our part. Amen? I can't rope you like a cow. If I could, I would. Right? The decision is yours. Once you've heard the truth, what you do with it is completely up to you. Amen? So what humanity really needs right now is not more food and water. Right? They need the Word of God. You need the Word of God. What do you mean, Pastor? Listen, if you're not in the Word every day, you are spiritually starving to death. Well, Pastor, my Word just comes on Sunday and Wednesdays. Well, you are starving to death. You are. Yeah, just eat on Wednesdays and Sundays. All right? But you can only do it for an hour. All right? That's it. That's a good weight loss program. Right? Eventually, you just become sickly. Right? Just like your spirit does when you don't read the Word of God. Most people don't understand the power that the Word of God has. All right, last verse. Verse 52 said, and the disciples were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute. And they just got abused, right? Ran out of town. But it says they were joyful and full of the Holy Spirit because their circumstances kind of contradict their emotions here, right? Well, here's why. Because being filled with joy and being filled with the Holy Spirit are synonymous. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you are truly filled with the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Did I say them all? But you get my point. They go together, man. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, make no mistake about it, man, there is a joy unspeakable and full of glory in your spirit, right? And listen, how can they do that? How can they be that way? Because the joy of a genuine Christian or the genuine joy of a Christian is not ever determined by the circumstances, by the situations, or by anything that's going on in their life or in the world. It is solely based on being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You can't separate the two. You show me a Holy Spirit-filled person, even if they're being abused and kicked out, right? And they're still joyful. We've seen this with Peter, remember? When Peter said they counted themselves worthy after they were beaten to be beaten for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, I'm going to close with this. Somebody come up here. I need a volunteer. Anybody. Andy, I want you to walk through this sanctuary, and I want you to touch everything that's eternal. Yeah. Oh, man, is he going to guess on y'all's salvation? Maybe I should have done that, huh? All right, man. Eternal?
No.
Yes!
No. That flesh is not eternal,
oh,
baby.
Flesh.
Got news for you. That's going to rot off them bones, man. So what can I touch in here?
Nothing.
No, that's not true. That's not true at all. Hold up your Bible. Because I want us all to understand something. There was only one thing that exists in this physical world that you and I can physically touch that is eternal. And it is woven within the fabric of God's Word. You get that, right? You say, Pastor, that don't make no sense. Listen to me. Let me tell you what Jesus said in Mark chapter 13, verse 31. I put it on the board. He said this, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." There's only one thing you can physically touch in this world that is eternal. And you know what the problem is? You're not touching it enough. You're not touching it enough. How do you know, Pastor? Well, because on Wednesday, this room ain't full. Sunday morning, 9 a.m., this room ain't full. When we need servants and we need volunteers, we should have more. Amen? This word right here changes you. This word changes your priorities. This word, taken on a steady diet, come on, puts God first in your life. Puts God first in your life. You understand what I'm saying? Amen? You know what you can do. But listen, God knows what you can do. All right? You can fool whoever you want to fool. You say, Pastor, why are you being so direct? That's what the Bible says. Right? That's what the Bible says. The truth is the truth. This is the only thing eternal. You got to open it. You got to read it. This will change you from the inside out. It'll make you a whole different person, man. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Right? Those of you who are fearful, you live in fear and that anxiety and that worry or anger. Listen, that's all of the world crap. Did I say crap? That's all crap of the world. But it is, right? It all comes from the world. And ultimately, it comes from the enemy. But listen to me, from whatever struggle, whatever situation, whatever you're going through in life, however, whatever fear, whatever anxiety, whatever worry, whatever sorrow, listen to me. There's an antidote. There's an antidote. A 100% foolproof antidote. And that antidote is the Word of God. Amen? You can trust it to save you, but you can't trust it to guide your life? Come on, man. Well, you just held on to it to save you, and then after that, I'm good. No, man, that ain't the end. That's the beginning. I'm telling you, God wants to do so much in your lives. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Right? Oh, do you have a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God? That's the title of the message. That's what you and I need to have. Without exception. Because if you allow things to get in the way of you reading this eternal Word, then you will let them get in the way. You understand what I'm saying? You will let them get in the way. Don't let anything keep you from this Word. Please. Please. I need you to read it. Amen? Because we as a New Life Fellowship church body will accomplish so much more with people who are read up and prayed up. I promise you. We will, man. We can change this whole city just with 120 people who are read up. Man, could you imagine 120 Billy Grahams? Come on. Huh?
Amen.
120 Tony Evans. Come on.
Amen.
Man, they wouldn't know what hit them. Well, they would because we'd tell them. Right? So I just want you to know there's only one thing in this life God gave us that was eternal that we can put our hands on. And it's available to you in an unlimited amount. Unlimited amount. Read it and watch what God can do. Somebody finish this for me. You shall know the truth. Man, there's something about that freedom, right? That freedom from what? From alcohol, freedom from drugs, freedom from fear, freedom from anxiety, freedom from sorrow, freedom in the Lord. Amen? If you would stand with me. I love you guys, man. I do. Listen, if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, please get with me. Let me explain to you who he is. I know Paul just did it, but maybe you need some more information. That is what I want to do for you, all right? If you do not have a relationship with Jesus, this is the most important decision you and I will ever make in our entire life, all right? Christians, listen to me. Do you know that I could look at some of y'all and look at your lives and look at your attitudes and say, and I know you're not up to par on your reading. And I'll tell you why, because people who read and people who receive and people who intake that word and those people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, sometimes they don't look like you and they don't act like you. No, all the time. They don't look like you and they don't act like you. You want to be a better husband, read the Word of God. Right? You want to be a better boss? Read the Word of God. You want to be a better wife? Read the Word of God. You want to be better, a better friend? The Bible says if you want friends, show yourself friendly. Read the Word of God. Man, whatever you're struggling with, read the Word of God. I promise you the answer's in there. And it's achievable. Amen? You want to quit something. Deal with something. You want to be released from chains or bondage of something that has got you. Oh, man. Read the Word of God. Because it has the power to deliver. Amen. Remember, man, Jesus still hangs out with tax collectors. Right? And sinners. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you. What an honor it is just to bow before you here. Lord, I thank you for what you're showing us here in the book of Acts. Thank you for Paul. I thank you for Barnabas and their willingness, Lord, to be your servants. Father, I thank you for this beautiful picture of what the Word can do. Man, they made this Word a priority in their lives, Lord. They were hungry and they were thirsty, Lord. I pray that you would do that again. Right here at New Life Fellowship Church. Lord, I pray this morning that your Spirit would speak to us all and show us, Lord, where and what it is we need to do different. Father, reveal to us and show us without a doubt how much power there is in having the knowledge of your Word and applying it to our lives. Lord, thank you for all the areas of my life you've set me free. And I know it was you, and I know it was your Word. Father, I ask that you would continue to work on those areas in my life that aren't free. Lord, please pray that same prayer for everybody who can hear my voice this morning. Father, as we open up this invitation, let all fear in the name of Jesus get behind us. All anxiety, any worry, anything. As your Holy Spirit speak to us, we do exactly what you say, Lord. If it's come down to receive salvation, if it's come down, Lord, to tell you the Bible hasn't been a priority in our lives, Lord, we're sorry. But fill me today with your Holy Spirit that I might leave here with a joy and a hunger and a thirst for a Word that will set me free. We love you, Lord. Man, we love you. Like the song said, we owe it all to you. And we are in awe of you, Lord. And we pray in the mighty, powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Altar's open. If you need to come pray, you need somebody to pray with you, I'll pray with you. Bruce will pray with you.